Praise the Lord. So why were you created? If you understand the, if you don't understand this, even our perspective, our understanding, our revelation will be colored. If you don't know the primary reason that you were created. So whatever resources they give you, it's just like having a business. You're having a business. If you don't have defined goal, an objective or strategic goal where you want to get to, if they give you all the resources, you will not get there. Number one. Then number two, it's also possible to pick a wrong vision along the road. Some people have maybe a great company, they're into oil and gas, everything. So before you know it, maybe resources just come, start coming, they start branching to other aspects of business. And at the end of the day, the whole thing will crash. They will not succeed there. They will not succeed there. So if you now understand why you were created, in other words, why man was created, then it will tailor your revelation. Even it will tailor your understanding. Even your relationship, your one-on-one relationship with the Holy Ghost will be tailored. Because you know the end of where you are going. Praise the Lord. And you also know the end of what you are doing. Now, I said there is a primary reason, secondary reason or cause, or causes, or secondary. Just permit me to use that word, reason. Then number three, we now have means, right? Means to achieve the primary goal, which is the main goal. Why God created man? You know, as you are reading the word, then your vision in life, everything about you will be tailored. It will be tailored to the end. So that at the end of your life on earth, you will stand in the end. Praise the Lord. There's a place called the end. So that at the end of your life, you'll be standing on that spot called the end. Amen. Now look at the things we were created. Bro, they say God created him to solve a problem. Allow me to say to stand in the gap for others. Sister Simbia said to worship and fellowship with God. Bro Michael said created for the gospel. Pastor Jeremiah said to show for the glory of God. Bro Tosin said fellowship with God to represent him. Sister Shahid said to love God, to know him, be like him, to serve God. Bro Kenny said to serve him. Number nine, Bro Jayova said to serve others and love others. Sister Tokwe said for his pleasure. All these things you find them in the scripture. For his pleasure. Bro Desmond, to find God, to love him. That's Bro Desmond. Then Bro Nathaniel said to do his will. Sister Destiny said to do his will, to know him, then to walk in his dominion. And Bro Tokwe said to take charge in his place and for relationship. Praise the Lord. So we will now know the primary reason. We will now know which is secondary reason. We will now know means. Some of these things here, some of them are means to the primary reason. Now to understand why God created man, you don't go and start reading. You don't start your understanding from Genesis 3. Praise the Lord. You need to go back to Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2 to begin from there. Because some of us started from Genesis 3. Like my brother said, to stand in the gap. Man, in the Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2, God created man. He said, let us make man in our image. In Genesis chapter 1, in Genesis chapter 2, man was without sin. In Genesis chapter 3, man sinned, and then there was the fall. So the life of man before the fall, and the life of man after the fall or in the fall, then these are things you need to understand these concepts. So the day that God created man. So if you now take the understanding from the fall, that this was why when the fall has happened, that is the reason God created man. The fall was something that happened on the way. Praise the Lord. On the way. I'm driving my car to Lagos and it developed a fault. So I'm taking my vehicle to Lagos, right? And there's a detour. My car developed a fault and I had to branch to take it to a mechanic. Then I now continue the journey, right? So that's I want to give an analogy of the fall. The man fell in Genesis 3 when he committed sin, the whole process of redemption. So can you see now? When God created man, was there a problem? I know, I said we're going to do it together. So you need to go back to Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis and start your understanding from there. I say start your understanding from there, then you now progress. So the day that God created man, and my brother said to solve a problem. Was there a problem to be solved? Eh? In the context of the kind of problem, you know, we have now. Number two, to stand in the gap. Of course, that time in the gap where he was talking to us from that place of intercession and everything. So in Genesis 1 and 2, before the fall, were there gaps? Bro, Lumide. Now, so why God created man? He said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. They're going to have dominion. They're going to rule and govern the earth. All of those things. Then, on and on. So, then, means then number four, then God gave him a work or an assignment. Told him to take care of the garden and everything. So the gospel that said you're talking about redemption. Right? Now, the day that God created man, I said Genesis chapter what? One. Genesis chapter what? Two. There was no fall. Albi? Man and nothing. Then the man fell in Genesis. Man fell in Genesis 3. That's the process. Then Jesus had to come, die, and everything. So in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, was there a gospel to be preached? If the man has not fallen, you know, I told about my vehicle going to Lagos, right? He developed a fault. I had to take it to the mechanic to fix it. Now, that's the work of redemption. Fix it and continue the journey. Then, if you look at Genesis, if Genesis 1 and 2, the gospel of our Lord Jesus, it came because of the fall. What are the last two chapters in the Bible? Revelations 21, Revelations 22. In the first two chapters of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 2, man is without sin. In the last two chapters of the Bible, Genesis chapter 21 and Genesis chapter 22, Revelation chapter 21 and Revelation chapter 22, man is without sin. So, from Genesis chapter 3, which is the fall of man, up until Revelation chapter 20, which is the complete restoration of man, which is in between. Praise the Lord. So, man fell in Genesis 3. Then in Genesis 3, somebody was introduced. It was in Genesis 3 that they introduced Satan. And in Genesis 3, they introduced Satan, and in Genesis 3, man fell. Now, in Revelation chapter 20, Satan was bound. That was when they judged Satan and cast him into the lake of fire. It's in Revelation 20, Satan was bound. Can you see? Now, get this. Get this. Praise the Lord. I repeat. They say in Genesis 1, Genesis 2, there was no sin. Then sin now appeared on the way. In Genesis 3, sin, Satan came and sin appeared in the world of man. There was no sin in the world of man. And that's God's will, and that's God's plan and program for man. Then in Genesis 3, the Bible introduced Satan. Now the serpent was more subtle. You now know then he tempted my man, fell. In between Genesis 3 to Revelation 20, Jesus Christ came, he redeemed us, we had the gospel like that. So from Genesis 3 to Revelation 20 is like this is how Israel had the story of redemption. And redemption is to bring man back to the original plan and purpose of God, which is the state of sinlessness. Which man was sinless, right? Man was sinless here, and he had a walk with God. He had an assignment. God has a purpose for creating man. The man that God created, he had a purpose and intention for creating that man. Sin came and destroyed the whole plan. So what God started here in Genesis 1 and in Genesis 2 was almost aborted in Genesis 3. Then up until Genesis 3, all of the story you start reading from Genesis 3 up until Revelation 20, God was trying to undo what has been done in Genesis 3. That's why if you read in scripture that for this purpose of the Son of God manifested, that he might undo, to roll back what was done in Genesis 3. And that's where we're up to today. That's the story of our redemption. Then if you now discover in Genesis, Satan was bound in Revelation 20, then the new world began. So if you read Revelation 21 and Genesis chapter 1, they are almost the same thing. So the word that God began here and was aborted here, after all of this thing that took thousands of years and was finished here, Satan was bound and was judged, and the judgment, this is the white throne judgment, this is the final judgment. Then God began the same work he began in Genesis 1, right in Revelation chapter. Read the first in Revelation 21. He began the same work he started in Revelation 1. Now read Revelation, read Genesis chapter 1 verse 1, and read Revelation chapter 21 verse 1. So everything from here to this other place now, including what we are doing now, is God is trying to redeem us back, and then now continue the journey he began in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. The journey he began in creating man. Praise the Lord. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Then he now started the other things. The earth was without form. Darkness was over. God said, let there be light. Let there be vegetation. He created all of those beautiful things. Then God created man. He said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And so God created the man in his image and his likeness. In Genesis 2, God gave the man a body. He formed the body for the man in Genesis 2. Then he now created Eve and gave the man a wife. Praise the Lord. Now, God created, he made the man, he made Eve. The next thing that happened is that they fell. So they never even lived the life that God had even intended them to even begin in the first place. Now, go to Revelation 21 verse 1. What did he say? Praise the Lord. Now, can you see? He said, in the beginning, God made the heavens and the earth. In Genesis 3, that process was tampered with. What God was saying, so God had to destroy everything. He said the earth will be destroyed, the heavens will melt. Then God now began all over again in Revelation 21. He said a new heaven and a new earth. So the first two chapters of the Bible and the last two chapters of the Bible, man is without sin. So this one that sin came in, you know, of course, Christ came in between from the Genesis 3 to Revelation 20. It started with raising the prophet Abraham, beginning the process of redemption and restoration. He called Abraham before me. He made him a father of faith. Like that, he became the father of faith. Through Abraham, he was going to form a nation. He was going to bring the Messiah, Christ. Christ will be born, and Christ will now die for our sin. The sin that happened where? I'm trying to lay a foundation. I have not gone to this question. I need to give you some background so that I can understand. So the thing that happened in Genesis 3, Jesus that came somewhere here in the middle here in the gospel, thousands of years later, died, he brought forth animal. From here down to Jesus came somewhere here, they were using animal to sacrifice, to atone for the sins of man. Then Jesus came. After Jesus came, the Holy Ghost came. Anything you give as the primary reason for creation that falls between here, between Genesis 3 and Revelation 20, is that the purpose of creating man? Is that the primary purpose of creating man? No, I don't know if you get my story. God made man. It's just like I said, I'm going to Lagos. My car developed a fault. And I branched in the mechanic for 5 hours to fix it, right? After fixing it, I came back to the road. So this Genesis 3 was when I branched to the mechanic to fix my car. And after fixing the car in Revelation 20, right? I came out to the mechanic's place and I now continue the journey. That is what happened, Revelation 21 up to Revelation 22. Man is without sin. Revelations, Genesis 1 and 2, man is also without sin. So sin came in between. From Genesis to 3, Genesis chapter 3 to Revelation chapter 20, God was addressing the issue of sin and the issue of redemption. So now, why were you created? What was in God's heart, in God's mind when he created man? So that's why I've shown you that anything you can figure out from Genesis 3, I repeat. So all this standing in the gap, solve a problem, preaching the gospel, becoming an apostle, an evangelist, a pastor, a shepherd, all of those things have to do with the ministry from Genesis 3 to Revelation 20. So that the work of reconciliation, restoration of all things, all those things can be done, you know. Right now, this could be our assignment here, but that is not the primary what God had in mind when he created man in Genesis 1. So I now ask all the question, why did God create you? Amen. Okay, you are right. He said it. Have dominion. Have all of those things that even God gave him when he created him. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowls of the air, over every, those. Wait, listen. Those things that God gave in Genesis 1, let us make one in our image, let them have dominion. It has to do with earth. It has to do with earth. We are the earth, the only primary reason that God created man. No, let's get it very well. Open Genesis. Genesis chapter 1:26. Hope we understand a God's creation. God created the heavens. God created the earth, right? That dominion, all those things God listed there has to do with only the earth. True of us. So is that the primary reason that God created man? Yes? Okay, good. No, you guys are correct. But I just want us to streamline it so that I can get it well. So now, look at Genesis again. So if we say, then God said, let us make mankind in our image, right? In our likeness, right? So that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth, subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Can you see the dominion, the authority, all those things that God spread, all of them has to do with the earth. Was that the primary reason that God created man? I looked at primary reason, secondary. Was that the primary reason that God created man? Now, look at Genesis 1:26. I mean, let us make man. Yeah, put pause there. Put pause there. Let us make man in our image. You know, after our words, likeness. And before that place, put full stop there. Before that place, if you go back, God said he created all things afterwards. Their kind, right? Now, God was making another creation that is after another kind. And what kind is that creation? He said, let us make man in his own kind. Afterwards, after his likeness, after his image. Praise the Lord. So will you say to serve others and love him? That's the primary reason that, and to serve others and love others. Will you say it again?
No.
Bro King. Wow. So why did God create man? A very weighty question. And very debatable question. Now, when God created another question that will link us to the answer to this question. So, can I clean these ones now? When God created man, did the man know God? When did God created man and put man on earth, did that man know God? Did the man now? Amen. Okay.
He just know God that this is God, but doesn't know the makeup of God. Doesn't know the makeup of God. Who God really?
Can you clap for my sister? There's no more to be debated. That means, can you see now? Now, we're not going to get to the purpose and the heart of why God created man. We cannot even say this is it in all. But it's just to scratch the surface. Praise the Lord. Before you take me up on this message, we are just trying to scratch the surface or to even get on the journey, to get on the bus, to even begin to understand, you know, why God created. Now, he said, let us make man in our kind. Let him make man in our image. In our likeness, we will make man on the same pedestal like we are. So his operating and relational environment is going to be us. His up in the ground, the environment he relates with, his company is going to be us. Praise the Lord. Not the lion, the tiger, and all of those things, they are part of it, but he's our kind. He can talk with us. He can sit down on the table and eat with us. He said, I stand at the door and knock. If you open the door, I will come in and sup with him and he will sup with me, because he was made in God's own kind. That's what Jesus said. Praise the Lord. Amen. He can sit on the throne with me. He said, to him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me on my throne. You know why? Because God made man in his own kind. So the relational environment of God is, of man is who? Is God. You see, why that man fed, God himself had to come down to save him. Because they have the same kind. Praise the Lord. It's like one of us has fallen. If you read John 17, where Jesus prayed, he said, that they may be in us. Can you see? He said, when he was praying in John 17, he was going, he said, Father, I pray for this one, that the glory you have given me, I have given them, that they may behold my glory, that they may be one in us. That I may be in them, and that you in me, and I in them. I'm trying to make us see that we are made in the same kind like God. Praise the Lord. So one of the things that will have helped man to enter into his purpose, on enter into his purpose, which never entered, Adam never entered, which man never entered. Praise the Lord. And which I also still believe we have known it in shadows, if you have not entered. We've not got into Revelation 20. It has not happened. Satan has not been bound. So man has not fully entered into his purpose. Why God has even created him. But we know it in shadows, in tokens, and while stretching and relating with him. One of the, you know, now I say something. Then, beautiful, let me lay this one before I say the next thing I'll say. So, if you go on and on, if you read Genesis 2, before the man fell, what did the Bible say? The last... I say, wait, listen, I repeat. God created man, Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. Genesis 1, he gave the body of man in Genesis 2 or Genesis 1. Genesis 1, Genesis 2, God had the creation of man. Then, how did Genesis 2 ended? Before we enter Genesis 3. All right, now we are still in Genesis 3. That era of Genesis 3 era to Revelation 20 era. Which is the era of, what is redemption? What does it mean to redeem? It's not to buy back. To restore. So when we are now, we are still in the process of restoration. So when we are now fully restored, when restoration is over, then we will now begin our journey that was aborted in Genesis 3. Which is Revelation 20. We've not gotten there. Jesus has finished the work, but there are some other things that God is still waiting to be done. Then Revelation 20 was when they bound Satan and the false prophet, then the white throne judgment, God judgment, then man now had a new beginning. There was a new earth and there was a new heaven. Back to Genesis chapter 1. Then, can you see? So, the journey that began here that was having a lot of truncation, we now get back to it and we're going to start all over again. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, we're going to have a restart. That restart now will now begin to launch us. Why? When we get to this 21, Revelation 21 and 22, when we stand in that spot, that eternal spot, we'll now begin to comprehend, begin to understand fully the very heart and purpose of man. So can you now begin to see? So but for now, within the context of Genesis 3 to Revelation 20, we also have the purpose of man, why God has called you. That's why even Apostle Paul, let me not go into that. Let me come to this one now, so that before I digress. Now, one of the man did not know God. Yes. The man that was created in Genesis 1, he did not what? Know God. But God created that man to know him. And it is in knowing God that it will unlock his potential, unlock his destiny, and the man will enter into his purpose. Praise the Lord. That's why when Satan even started to tempt them, when the evil one was tempting them, they did not even recognize what was happening. They didn't even know what was happening. You don't know what happened in that temptation. When that was what was going to crucify the Son of God on earth, when the whole host of heaven was focusing and looking at them, yet they stood in the garden, they don't even know left to right. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes. So, you know, they say Satan deceived me, deception, like that. So, all of those, something. So, Satan deceived them in Genesis 3. And like I say, when I was ministering somewhere, I say, they stood there, Satan was speaking to them, and they could not recognize the evil in the voice of the evil one. They could not recognize the evil in the voice of the evil one. In the day that you eat this thing, God for God, no, and all of those things, and they took it and they ate it. This is not the story of people that knew. This is not a testimony of people that knew God. Praise the Lord. Now, if you look at Revelation, Genesis 2, what was the last verse? What did he say? I said, she opened it. They were naked, right? So God just started a process. God began a process. In the beginning of the process was aborted. Go to 2 Corinthians when Paul was crying. He said the both of the man and the woman, they were what? They were naked.
chapter 5 from verse 1. I'll read it.
For we that are in this tabernacle be grown, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life.
Now they were naked, right? Paul in that 2 Corinthians 5 say that will not be found naked, that mortality will be clothed by immortality. You see the body that the man had here, right? That body was subject to corruption. That body was corrupting. It could be corrupted, right? That body could be corrupted. So that Genesis chapter 2, the last verse, they were both naked. That body was subject to corruption. It's possible to corrupt that body. But when we cross over to Revelation 21, God is going to give man a body that cannot be corrupted. Can you see the difference? So it was a process that began and never ended. So God will give man a body that cannot be corrupted. That's why Paul was crying that when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. The man and the woman was naked. And what simply happened in Genesis is Satan exploited their nakedness. Praise the Lord. That nakedness is mortality. Satan, not the man was not immortal, but the flesh, you know, that was now subjected to mortality because of sin, like that. But that body was not immortal. So what was supposed to happen, that part of the primary work of that man was, what did I write here? Part of our primary work in our fellowship with God, in our worship, everything was to lead us to the knowledge of God, was to lead us to know God. And in knowing God, it will now unlock the things that are inside. It will now unlock our destiny, unlock our purpose, and unlock the things that are inside. Even Paul, that's why I told you from Genesis 3 to Revelation 20 was the work of redemption. Even when Paul had done all those work, what was his cry? That was higher than all of those assignments. He said, that I may know him. That is the deepest call. That is the deepest call of man. Can you see it? Being a pastor, being a shepherd, God has called you to do this, to stand in the gap, to be a problem solver, is part of the call. But the deepest call is to know him. And in knowing God, it will unlock your potential, your destiny in life. It will unlock who you are. That was the journey that a man was supposed to take in Genesis 1 and 2. But that journey was aborted. They did not know God. They knew somebody else. They knew Satan. When he made him, the moment it was recorded that God created man, the woman and the man were created. Both of them were naked. They were not ashamed. Then, you know, God was doing his work. The next thing that was mentioned was the fall. Satan was introduced. So there was a test. Now, listen carefully. After that creation, right? In Genesis 2, then there was a test. There were two trees. Abby? The tree of life. The tree of death. And both of them are symbolic. The tree of life was representing God, and the tree of death was representing Satan. So who are you going to pick? And the man chose to pick Satan. And that's why Satan came in Genesis 3 and the man went with him. Praise the Lord. So the two trees were symbolic. One was death, one was life. So the one you eat is not just trees. Spirits were represented in those trees. Those trees, those were gateways. Those were gateways to spiritual realities. So in eating the tree of life, will have opened the man to a spiritual reality. You know? What we will have, that is the life of Christ and all of those things. So what we have today in Christ, I'm going to have eternally in Christ. You will have opened man to that reality, to that dimension of life. Then eating the other tree, the tree of death, will now open us to this reality of Satan where we are today. It's a spiritual state. The earth today is in a spiritual state. That's why they say the whole world lies in the hands of the evil one. They say Satan is the prince of this world. So these two trees were two princes. Which one are you going to follow? Because God created man to follow somebody. Either you follow Christ or you follow the evil one. So that's why God had to test his obedience and gave him a choice who he's going to follow. And then in Genesis, the man chose to follow Satan. And that is where we are today. And then Jesus had to now come die to undo what was done in Genesis 3. And now bring us back to the original purpose of God in Revelation 21. Praise the Lord. So can you see? So in knowing God, will have fortified the man, fortify him, because for you to, now I used to wonder that why did the man not go and eat the tree of life? See, it was there. Now why did, why am I like that? No, there's no way he can eat that tree of life. Without, he must conquer this tree. He must conquer this tree before he eats the tree of life. Open to Revelation 22. The tree of life is a product of obedience. And the man must obey. Jesus became the author of eternal salvation because he obeyed. So that test of obedience, you can't, okay, like that. No. These are spiritual dynamics. These are arrangement in the spirit. So there was no way he could just move secretly, eat the tree. No. He has to conquer that tree. He has to overcome that tree. He has to overcome death to eat life. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Look at the tree of life. Look at Revelation 22. It's, I say it's a product of what? It's a product of obedience. Now, Revelation 21 verse 22. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandment, that they may have right to the tree of life. Praise the Lord. And may enter through the gate into the city. You see, the tree of life is a gate. It's a gate to a spiritual world, to a spiritual reality. So, entering that tree of life will have taken them to a spiritual reality. You don't need to have the fall, redemption, or take them to the realm of immortality. Praise the Lord. Then this one, the eating this death took them to the another spiritual realm, really called mortality, death, which is where we are today. But thank God for Jesus. Can you see now? So there was no way he said, okay, I, you know, could have just gone and eat that tree of life. No, you have to overcome. It's a product of obedience. Can you see, to them that do his commandment, that they may have right, it's a right to the tree of life. That they may have right to the tree of life and enter through the gate into the city. Jesus said, I'm the gate. Into which city? The city, the heavenly city, the city of God. So even that man self, that's why if you remember, Jesus said, no man, nobody has seen God. Nobody has seen God. Five times Jesus said in the Bible. Jesus said it, that no one has seen the Father. He said it in John chapter 1, in John chapter 8. Then in 1 Timothy chapter 6, Paul said nobody has seen God. Then in 1 John chapter 4, is it 1 John chapter 4 too? The apostle John said that nobody has seen God, you know, so they can have access into divinity. So man had not assessed the purpose of his call before his fall. Are you hearing me? He had not assessed the purpose, the main central purpose, the other things, rule the earth, have dominion, have government, but the central heart and the purpose of why God created him, he had not assessed it before the fall. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I have a pastor here, but am I on track? Eh, pastor? You know, so, you know, can you see? So, they didn't know about spiritual things. So, God was teaching them, tutoring them like that, tutoring them. But it got truncated and aborted in the way, as like I said. Then, after the fall, redemption, then back to Revelation 21, 22, then the work continued. But this is what I want to establish, and I'll stay here, and I'll not go beyond here. I'll leave it at here. You can do further study on your own. You can get the message and listen to it. If you have further questions, you ask the Holy Spirit. But now, I want to bring it back to today and to your present life. The primary heart and purpose that God made you is to do what? Even Moses, after he had done so many mighty miracles and power and everything, what did he say? He said, show me your glory, that I may know you. Paul, after he had done all those, after he had done the assignment, he has been an apostle, he has finished that work. He now came back. He said, that I may know you. Because God, why I say, the purpose of man is, if you look at say, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and I say, full stop there. That is the ultimate purpose of creating man, to be in God's own kind, to relate and to fellowship with God, the everlasting and eternal being, a God that is endless. So man was created to journey in God. To journey in knowing God, going from one level of light to another level of glory, to another level of glory, like you said it, is glory, and from one level in God. So man's assignment is to explore God. Let me put it that way. Is to do what? To explore. That is to explore God. That is your primary proposal. To explore God. That he said, if you seek me, you will find me. Alright? God keep putting that say, but this one says, no, I'm finding God. He said, if you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. If you seek me, you will find me. Then finding God, when we are born again, when we come to Christ, we will find God. Then if you seek him, that we are finding him, you begin to know more and more and more of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we were created more to become than to do. To become. In his image, in his likeness, in his kind. Imagine Jesus. Imagine Jesus did not fall, but Adam fell. What was the difference between the two of them? Jesus knew God, but Adam did not. It's the same temptation that Adam fell. The same temptation came, Jesus did not fall. Jesus had three stages of the temptation. Adam fell in stage one. To make you understand that he never knew God, let me tell you stage one. Three stages. Let me show you the three stages. Three stages, but he fell at stage one. So there was no even need to go to stage two. Praise the Lord. Let me not use the word Adam, because most of us are even still falling in that same temptation. There were three stages. The first stage, the three stages, he fell at stage one. Pastor Collins, please. He fell at stage one. I said the same place that Jesus stood, and he did not fall. Adam was there and he fell, right? Is that not what I said? Stage one, stage two, stage three. That's what I'm writing on the board, right? food, which has to do with the body. Then the second one, the ultimate thing that Satan was challenging was sonship in that temptation, even in the garden. It was sonship. I won't go into it, but sonship. What Satan came to challenge, you know, he said, let us make man in our kind, after our likeness. Praise the Lord. No, listen to me. The sonship was established in Genesis 1. Let us make man in our kind, after our likeness. You know, I said something about we are made in his kind, in his image, in likeness, that our environment, our operating environment is God. You know, our class, our company is God, right? That was what Satan came to challenge in the garden. How did I know? I know it in the temptation in Jesus Christ, because it was the same temptation. The same thing. And how did it start? He said, God know that in the day you eat this food, Abby, this thing you will surely. That was not the temptation. It didn't end there. It's just like he failed at stage one. Because Satan was going to challenge the sonship. That you made in his image, in his kindness. That's what we call sonship, image and likeness. We are made. What means we are the son of God. We are made in his image. We are made in his likeness. We are his son. We are like God. Amen. So that was what Satan came to question man in the garden. He fell at stage one. Because if you look at the same temptation repeated to Christ, he said that command, if you are thou are the Christ, command this stone to become what? Bread. Jesus passed. He now went to stage two. That if you are the son of God, he said, throw yourself down. And he said, so that was the temptation in the garden. If we fell at stage one, that food. You see that food aspect of it, that's where we fell. And praise the Lord. So there was no need to go to stage. When he came to stage one, he came with the things that the body. He tempted Adam with the body and he fell. So he wanted to tempt Jesus with the body. He stood. Then he now went to the heart of the matter. If thou be the Son of God. That was where he was going with Adam. He fell at stage one. His sonship. Praise the Lord. His sonship. So can you see the kind? Let us make man in our kind. Man is made in God's kind. Our company, the company of the divinity, the company of God. That's why he talks about the divine nature. He talks about who sit on thrones, you know, judging tribes, you know, judging nations, thrones. So can you see that? Now, what will unlock all these dimensions, all of those things is what? It's just one thing. It's as we wish for to know the Lord. Praise the Lord. So what is your, now even right now, what is your primary call on it? If you are an apostle, you make a mess of an apostle. You make a mess of being an apostle. Even pastor, you make a mess of being a pastor if you don't know God. They'll mess you up. Same thing that happened in the garden. If you don't know God, just the same way Satan mess up man in the garden, you mess you up in your calling. You mess you, look at the people, Vibia Perpetua we're talking about. Imagine if that woman was not rock on God. If these are issues that their heart, these people knew God, their heart is been taken over, possessed by God. Everything that Satan did, he couldn't succeed. They stood. So I put it to you, forget about destiny, forget about life, if you don't know God. Knowing God is not that I know God, I am born again, I read the Bible. No. A progressive revelation, knowledge of God. You are journeying into God. I say man was made to explore God. Today we are exploring the sun, the moon, all the universe, all the planet. Praise the Lord. They were created to explore God. There are so many things in God. They had the voice of God walking in the cool of the day. That's the highest revelation they had. I don't even know the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and so many deep revelations. So many, these are things that were open that Adam and Eve could enter into those dimensions in God. If they had eaten the tree of life, but they could not conquer the road. Before you get to the tree of life, you meet one tree. I'm just using that as an illustration. You meet one tree in the middle of the road. You have to uproot that tree, uproot it away before you can go and eat the tree of life. And that tree, they could not uproot it. And that tree uprooted them from the garden. Uprooted them out of God. So can you see the difference? So the primary assignment and your primary job description on earth is to do what? Is to know God. Every other thing you do it to is assignment and all, but the primary thing is to know God. Because that is our ultimate inheritance, our ultimate destiny life. That's why I say, what shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and loses his soul? Losing that your soul is not only losing your soul in here, but even if you are born again and you are not progressing in the knowledge, you are not exploring God. Explore. You are not exploring God. You are not moving and journeying and getting to know God more and more and more and more and not progressing in light, in truth and everything. It's also part of losing your soul. You may not lose it in hell, but you are losing it in the place of destiny, in the place of life. Praise the Lord. So can you see? So that's why I draw primary reason, secondary reason, have dominion over the fish of the earth, over the cattle of the air, over all the earth. Those are what? But God created man for himself. And then God created man for fellow men. Praise the Lord. You were the one that mentioned relationship. And that's so God created man to fellowship, to relate with him. And to know him, and in that you now unlock who he is, his potential, his dominion, that authority, everything to now be unlocked. Then he now governs all of this. But the day he gets disconnected with God, every other thing will collapse. Praise the Lord. The day he sin and got disconnected with God, what happened to the dominion? Was it still retained? It was lost. What happened to the conquer, the plenty? Was it not lost? So which is the primary assignment? God created man for God. Amen. God created man for himself. Amen. And we are created for God. So if everything you do, all your assignment you do, you could be a pastor, you could be a leader, prayer coordinator, Bible study coordinator. You have an assignment that is higher than that. That's why you must have, they say, blessed are they that hunger and thirst. Right? Hunger and thirst for God. That hunger must be there. Hunger for God must be burning, must be consuming you. Praise the Lord. What was the primary work of Christ, calling of Christ? Was it the cross? You hope you know Jesus is beyond the cross. He said, I go to the cross even because I love my Father. There was a higher reason than the cross. I go to the cross because I love the Father. Can you hear the Father, above everything that he do, he loves also everything and all of those things. It's part of the calling, but there was a higher call. He said, as the Father knows me, even so know I the Father. John 10, we open to John chapter 10. John chapter 10 verse 15. Are we there? John chapter 10 verse 15. He said, as the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. He said, as the Father knows me, in the same way, the same capacity I know the Father. If you go back to verse John 10:30, he said, I and the Father, we are what? I and the Father, we are one. Praise the Lord. So if you just focus on assignment, doing just the work, and lose your vision of knowing God, you will not even do the assignment well. That's what I'm saying. The same assignment, that's why I say after running, they go, you see people feel of regret. You look as if your life is wasted on it. Praise the Lord. Because the true assignment is in running after God. As you are knowing God more, it will even sharpen your capability, to sharpen your skill, your wisdom, to even do the work well, to even sacrifice well. Praise the Lord. So even as a, now you come in as a family unit, your children, it's not to send them to the best school in Harvard, even though it's a good and a welcome nobility. The primary thing that should ring in your head for your children is that they should know God. Not just knowing Him once as being born again, but the continued progression in God. You know, man was created to journey in God and to journey through God. Praise the God. That is the orbit of man, God. He is to orbit, just like they say the earth orbit, orbit around the sun, orbit in space. That space that all this earth, sun, all the planets are suspended in space. That space that man is suspended is God. And he's supposed to orbit and navigate through God. God is everlasting. You spend eternity to exhaust Him. Praise the Lord. How can you not tell me that in Genesis 1-2, when they just gave birth to that, to give birth to man, he has known God? He has not even begun his work. The first test to even begin the journey, the gate to enter, he never even enter. No access. He never even entered the door in the first place. That door, he begins, yes, knowing God is immortal, he begins with immortality. He has not entered immortality before the fall. God created that body. The body was not immortal. The body was not mortal. It was in between. The choice he made was going to make the body. Either the body becomes immortal and his spirit becomes eternal. Okay, he has an eternal spirit, whether because he's going to live forever, but let me stay with immortality. Either the body is going to be immortal, or the body is going to be what? Mortal. Mortal means the body is going to subject to death. Or the body is going to be immortal, is it subject to death? It's immortality that can know God, that can comprehend, that can hold the things of God. So he didn't even enter the door in the first place. Can you see how serious these things are? Praise the Lord. So I've told us all these things that when you open your Bible, or when you start walking with God, when God starts doing some things in you, even when God starts blessing you on earth, you cannot be pompous and proud, right? Because some of us now, small thing, and God bless you a little bit, and takes you, you know, you are feeling pompous and proud, you have arrived. You only arrive in the knowledge and the revelation, knowing God, not by things of the earth. Praise the Lord. Not by when God gives you money, gives you influence, all of those things on earth. Those are secondary. Praise the Lord. The primary is your standing in God. He said, Jesus I know, Paul I know. Moses was the meekest man on the face. So it's the testimony that is streaming down from heaven. When you stand with ancient beings in heaven and you can stand shoulder to shoulder, he told Zachariah. He said, if you will obey me or something, I'll give you a place to stand among these that are standing here. Zachariah chapter 3. Look at verse 6. After God said they should remove the garment, right? And let them put a clean turban on his head. Now, and God said, they put the cloth on him. He said, I have taken away his iniquity. He said, I have removed your iniquity from you, and I will clothe you with a garment. Look at verse 6, Zechariah 3:6. Then the angel of the Lord beseeched Joshua, saying, Thus says the Lord of hosts, if you will walk in my ways, and if you will keep my commandment, it's always a product of obedience. That's what I'm saying. If you will walk in my ways, and if you will keep my command, then you shall also judge my house, and likewise have charge of my cause, and I will give you places to walk among those that stand here. God was standing with spirit, with ancient beings. He said, I'll give you a place with these people here.
So I'll give you a place to stand among my angels.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So this is the simple truth I just want us to look into. Why were you created? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So why were you created? And I said that in knowing God, it will unlock what? That is when it will unlock your purpose, right? It will unlock your purpose. It will unlock. You now begin to know the purpose of why God even made man. Why God made man, apart from the academic knowledge in your head that cannot help you. You know, that cannot help you in needy moments. You know, in times of need, in hours of need, those are things in the head. But the things in the when you begin, it will begin to now unlock your purpose. Of course, you have a purpose now, things that God wants to do now for 9 to 10. But the ultimate purpose and your ultimate inheritance is God, and is to know Him. Is it that I may know him? What did King David say? The king, he said, one thing have I what? Bear on the Lord, and this will I require all the seek after all the days of my life, that I may inquire and behold what? Behold His beauty you know, in his holy temple. Can you see, they had, if you look at the life of David, what was David's deepest heart cry? What was the deepest heart cry in David? A man after God's heart. David was a man that was going after God. He was a king. Was he not having an assignment on it? You could have your own as a pastor, apostle, evangelist, singer, anything you could name it. David had his own. David was a king. But beyond the kingship or the rigors of king and all of those in fighting battles up and that, David was still singing sweet psalm. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make my enemies your footstool. You know, look at David. Look at what David was saying. Fellowship. He said, oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My flesh thirsts for you. My soul longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. Can you see David's heart? That's why God said, in the last day, I'm going to raise up the tabernacle of David. You know what he's saying? I'm going to raise up men that will be like David. Yes, men that will run after my heart. Can you see why God created you? Can you see all your Christianity? If it's not channeling in this direction, we are shooting ourselves in the leg. Praise the Lord. If it's not channeling in this direction, so that hunger must burn in your heart. That hunger must be a fire that will consume you. It will be an overriding passion, and even if you are the president of the country, you know, just like David was a king, there is something that is burning inside of you. There is something, he said, as the deer pants for the streams of living water, so does my soul pant after God. There is something that is burning, it's a fire that burns within. It's a fire that burns within. He said, my flesh and my soul, is it flesh and soul also? The psalmist say, Christ after Christ for the living God. When shall I appear, you know, before him? When shall I appear before him? The old men were already seen looking beyond. Look at what about Abraham? With all his, Abraham was a very wealthy man. He could have built a city on it. Abraham could have built a kingdom. He had the wealth to build a kingdom on it. But he said he was looking for a city and a kingdom that God himself had built. Something Abraham was looking for God. Say, carry your only son, sacrifice him. He put him on the altar. He has carried knife. They had to call him twice. To stop it. You know, you can see the movement of these people's heart. You know, like this, so that we must be very, very careful. So don't be just carrying the ministry or the work. No. They should, so it's higher than the ministry. Because in fact, this is the ministry. Because it is this one that will give, this one that will burn. It is this one that will burn what you call the ministry. The fivefold. How can a person that does not know God be an apostle? You know? Not knowing God in depth, you know, your life is not on point, you know. You exploring. I say, man was made to explore what? Man was created to explore God. Explore. How many of us are exploring? Explore. Praise the Lord. So I want to give us opportunity to talk to the Lord. Okay, the three stages. Yeah, those are the stages that Jesus. But I say the temptation, even in the garden, what Satan came to challenge your sonship. Sonship. And you know, if you look at the temptation of Christ, he said, the second one, he said, if you are the son of God, he said, throw yourself down from the, is it pinnacle or the temple now, Abby, or something? When he took him to the pinnacle of, and asked him to fall down. That if you are the son of God. The second one, the third one, say, if you are the son of God. Right? He showed him all the kingdom of... the third one, he showed him all the kingdom of this world. And all the things that we give you, if you bow down and worship him. The second one, say, if thou be the son of God. Then even the first one, he told him, if you are the son of God, command this stone. He commanded this stone to become bread. So it's not about... the stone becoming bread, those something. What he was challenging was what? If thou be what? Is the sonship, the kind. That's what I said. And I said that the man fell in stage one. It was the sonship. What was Satan doing that in that place? What was he doing? Is it just about the garden? Come and eat these three. And I said those three, they were two princes, right? Two princes. And the man picked up. Yeah, he chose to. Pick the prince, which we call the prince of this world. So that tree was spirits were represented in trees in that place. those two trees were representing spirits. All right, let's pray. Can you begin to appreciate your father? Can you begin to bless him? So those of us that are into leadership, go and challenge people to rise up to the high call. The high calling of God. Paul called it the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. After he said that I may know him. That I may know him and the fellowship of him. So he now said that I may the price of the high calling. The high calling is to know the Lord. God created you to explore. Explore God. Explore God to navigate God. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. I say, put a full stop there. For you, so that I can understand why God created man. Man was made in God's own kind. God's own kind, our the company of man is God. To relate with God, God's own kind. Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, in our kind. That's the company that we have. Jesus said that I in them and you in me, that they may be made complete in one, that they may be one in us, you know, that they may come into us as one. This is beyond running up and down. We must take critical steps, tangible steps in walking with the Lord. The Bible says Enoch walked with God and was not, because God took him. He walked with God. You know, kept knowing God until he walked out of mortality and into immortality. He kept walking. He walked into immortality. This is a high calling. Every other thing is there. As you make progress in this high calling, you have your our families, marriages, businesses, education, the glory of God, everything will radiate in all those areas. Radiate in all those areas. We all know the story of Daniel in the Bible. What was the deepest desire in the heart of Daniel? Daniel, when you mention names like Daniel, what readily comes to mind? What were they looking for? What were these men looking for? It's not just about doing things. Thank God for the things we do. Even in doing those things, we get to know him more. In doing things, also in those things are the unveiling of God. Because the Bible even talk about even the physical creation unveil God. So even the assignment that God gives us to do right now, here and now, even in doing those things well and properly, even if God is being unveiled in our spirits, in our lives. But we must not lose the purpose and the heart of it all. The heart of it all. In doing the work, God is being unveiled. You are getting to know him more. There is no man or woman, I repeat, that walk in this path that will not be super successful in anything he does on earth. He said, whatsoever this man does, he prosper. From marriage to business to ministry to everything. To be a highway. Are you praying? Are you praying? Are you talking to the Lord? That I may know him. Let that prayer, let that word comes with a new breath, with a new light in our spirit. Let it rock our hearts anew. Lord, I want to know you. There are many songs about knowing God. The more I know you, the more I want to know you, Jesus. More of you. That's the deepest cry of the human heart. That's the deepest cry of the human heart. The more I know you, the more I want to know you, Jesus. More of you. I want more of you, Jesus. More I know you,
The more I want to know you, Jesus, more of you.
Praise the Lord. I recap, I say loud and clear. What God began, God said he wanted to make man. God started the work. He had not gone far. He had not gone anywhere when the work was aborted. I repeat it. I repeat what I've said in the course of the teaching. You know, he told Moses, okay, I'm ready to start all over. Right? God is not sure. He said, I'm ready to start all over. He told Moses. God is always ready to start. And so when he began in Genesis 1 and was aborted, then in Revelation 21, he started again. So we have not even gotten to the new start. We are still within the circumference of redemption and restoration. Can you see how profound this thing is? Aborted in Genesis 3, where man sinned and when Satan was introduced. Even before the sin, Satan was introduced. Then when Satan was bound in Revelation 20, God started a fresh start. And that's why in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, man was without sin. And in Revelation 21, Revelation 22, man was without sin. And that was the new beginning. God now began a new beginning. So we don't even know how the journey looks like. We only have a fainted knowledge about it. But he said that is even that faint and fainted knowledge is even sufficient for the present times. But the heart of the matter is that in knowing God, it will unlock our destiny, our purpose, why you are here, and what you even need to do now. And then the issues of our eternal destiny in God. The more I know you,
to know you, Jesus, more of you, the more I know you, the more I want to know you, Jesus, more of you, I want more of you.
Does he have limits?
I sleep at night.
You have made me aware. There's nothing. There's nothing greater than you.
Your anger, does it have depth?
That's why I love
you. Can it be measured? Does it have bottom or is bottomless? It's a bottomless. What can separate us from the love of Christ? Is it sword? Darkness? Nakedness? The want to come? Is it the heaven we're even thinking about? The heaven that we have been gifted? Is it angels? What can separate our heart? Oh, nothing. We are persuaded nothing. Nothing is present life. Oh, they want to come. Even they want to come. Nothing. Oh. Awake, the Lord is waiting. Awake in hunger. Bottomless hunger. Bottomless thirst. Awake. Awake. The night is fast spent. And the day is approaching. And awake. Father, we thank you. Thank you, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, our Father, we bless you. Thank you, we bless you. Thank you. Thank you, our Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.